Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday, in our study, Galatians chapter 2, we were taught that when we fall into false doctrine, we are the servants of that doctrine. Let's continue with that thought today.
And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Second Peter chapter 2, verse 19 says, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. That prophecy in Second Peter chapter 2, that speaking of the last days here before the rapture, boy, it is right on. Because when he says, well, they promise them liberty, they are themselves the servants of corruption. That is a picture of the contemporary and those compromising, just taking some of the principles of the contemporary into their lives and church. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same he is brought into bondage. Romans chapter 6, verses 11 through 18. I'm just going to read them to you. I'm not going to exposit them for you, but I just want you to listen to it and see how that fits in today. And you may even write this down, Romans 6, verses 11 through 18. But notice what he says. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign meaning to be king, in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust, that is, the desires thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and are members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know you not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, being then made free from sin, become servants of righteousness. Okay? So it's not just to be delivered from sin and then to be apathetic. No, it's also to do that which is right, to serve God in righteousness. That is the next step. When one is enslaved, he is enslaved to someone or thing. Beware of those who would make you subservient to them or a system. And they say, well, we've got liberty. We've got freedom. Yeah, you got freedom for drugs. That also makes you a slave to drugs in the long run. You're a servant to sin or you're a servant to righteousness. That's what he just told us here. You're one of the two. So after the report and the rivals of the report, we next see the recognition of his call in verses 6 through 8. And now notice here, but of those who seem to be somewhat whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepteth no man's person. For they who seem to be somewhat in conference, added nothing to me. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentile. I like that. You know, I really like that. I like the way it's stated. This guy knew his call. So, you look there at verse 6. Don't look at that verse as disrespect or arrogant when he says, those who seem to be somewhat. I didn't really know. It didn't make matter to me because God doesn't respect people's person. They might have been somewhat in conference, but they didn't add anything to me. That is not a disrespect or arrogance on the apostle's part. But there is a principle involved. And that's why it says there it has a parenthesis, and that's actually in the original Greek. The parenthesis of whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepteth no man's person. So, God had a reason for putting that there. Now, Paul stated in 2 Timothy 1:12 that he knows whom he had believed. In chapter 1, verse 12 of Galatians, we see somewhat the same thing there when the apostle says, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it by man, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. So it wasn't taught by man. He was taught by the revelation of Jesus Christ. The Lord taught him, is what he told the people there. That's how he got it. That's how it came to him. And so, he tells why. That it didn't really add anything to him. Because he was convinced by God. Those men didn't have to convince him. When you know the truth of the Word of God, there is no person, yea, not even an angel from heaven, for which you should compromise the truth. That's why in Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, we had read, but though we or an angel from heaven, Paul's even speaking about himself, we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you, then that ye have received, let him be accursed. So he said it twice. I mean, two verses in a row, he says, let that guy be accursed, tries to teach you something else. Don't tolerate it. Don't tolerate. When you know the truth, then nobody can add to that to change it. And if they do, they're not. They are 100% not of God, and I hope that you understand that. And that's what he's trying to get across to us here. Now, again, there's no disrespect intended here for the other apostles. And that is seen in the following verses. But he will not budge an inch. He will not compromise anything of God's truth or holiness for any man, even if that man is Peter, James, or anyone else. Now, oftentimes, young preachers, and they're old ones as well, and many congregations, have too strong a tendency to substitute a subjection of conscience to the fear of man rather than a subjection of conscience through the fear of God. Never follow opposition to truth. Never allow that to tamper with or to dictate to us the message. Never. When this happens among leaders, it jeopardizes the spiritual welfare of souls who look to them for help and guidance in the church. And I'm afraid that many of these preachers that once were fundamental, true to the word, had standards, now they've abandoned them, calling everybody legalist and so forth. I think they don't really realize, and they probably, because they turn that way, now they lack the capacity to understand. They just don't have the capacity to understand how much they've jeopardized the spiritual welfare of those souls that have looked to them for help and guidance. So it goes on to say, they seem to be somewhat. That's repeated in this one verse. By their position or appearance, they stood out as authority. I think probably it was due to their position, but they stood out. But God accepts no man's person, meaning God doesn't grant favor and acceptance based on a man's personal dignity or religiosity apart from Jesus Christ. Now, these men in conference were not going to add anything to him. That is, they weren't going to change his mind by their impressive position nor their demeanor. He needed no one there to make the gospel he preached authentic. Authenticity came from God and his word. That's what was important to him. It was very important to the Holy Spirit that we understand that, because it is too easy to get caught up in personalities. I was speaking one year on the Super Bowl, and usually each year at Super Bowl time, I just warned the people. I said, there are churches out there today that their Sunday night service, if they have one, it's going to be a Super Bowl time. And they may have a devotion just before the service starts, before the game starts, or during the halftime. But boy, if the Holy Spirit takes over, boy, a lot of people are going to be mad. Okay. And so I've said that, and I've had people come up and want to know why I'm attacking so-and-so's church. Well, there's a lot of churches doing it. I wasn't attacking anybody's church. But because they knew someone was doing it in town or somewhere else, they just said, okay, he's attacked that person. And I get a kick out of it because, and maybe I shouldn't, but I get a kick out of it because that personality has impressed them more than the Lord Jesus Christ and the truth, that they are desecrating the worship of God in his house by watching a game. Now, I'm a guy that likes football. But if football becomes as important, even close to being as important as the house of God and the worship of God, then I don't need to be in the pulpit. So, he is not implying that they were tempting to try to draw him away and make him subservient. No, that's not what they're trying to do at all.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click to the lamp and light. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying, may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.